are listening to Beyond Migraine, a six-part podcast series created for people living with migraine in Ireland, brought to you by the Migraine Association of Ireland and Teva Pharmaceuticals Ireland. The views, information or opinions expressed during the Beyond Migraine podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of the Migraine Association of Ireland or Teva Pharmaceuticals Ireland. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform and is not a substitute for professional diagnosis or treatment. This podcast is supported by funding from Teva Pharmaceuticals Ireland. Please note, any comments posted are not being monitored by Teva Pharmaceuticals Ireland. Reporting of suspected adverse reactions is important. It allows continued monitoring of the benefit-risk balance of the medicinal product. To ensure correct adverse event reporting, healthcare professionals and patients are encouraged to use their National Competent Authority reporting scheme. Or you can also report via tevapharm.com/contact us. In this episode of Beyond Migraine, we're focusing on an issue that many migraine sufferers identify with, triggers. I'm joined by former Miss Ireland and social media influencer Aoife Walsh, who lives with migraine, and Dr. Sinead Byrne, GP lead in St. Vincent's University Hospital Headache Clinic and director of the Headache Clinic in Dublin. Sinead, to go to you first, triggers. What are the most common triggers for migraine?
Yeah, so I think really top of the list has to be the stress one. You know, stress, daily life stresses, but even the positive stresses, like looking forward to things, you know, the excitement of an event, something coming up, and then let down from the stress. So maybe a stressful deadline has been met and the stress seems to have abated, and that's what happens afterwards when there's a sort of a relief. That's often a time when somebody will end up experiencing a migraine. Emotional upset is very much part of that as well. So sometimes, you know, somebody could have had a tough time, you know, a grief, you know, relationship kind of things, anything that causes you emotional upset, and so many things can. So stress would be number one. And then the other thing that I find is very common, obviously in women particularly, is hormones. So we all know it's very much part of the headache history. I always ask, you know, what age were you when you got your first period? You know, I always ask about the cycles. You know, was it then that you noticed that you started getting headaches, particularly in secondary school? And I always ask about sort of a mid-cycle sort of headaches, because we know that obviously estrogen dips just before you get your period in a normal cycle. And that dip of estrogen is we know it's very linked with triggering a migraine. And you get another dip again in mid-cycle when it comes to ovulation time. And then I always ask about pregnancies, of course, because that's a really interesting one with hormones. Again, particularly, we know the first trimester is often a time where you get lots of headaches. But then in the second and third trimester, people will often say they get great freedom. So those hormones and stress, they're absolutely top of the list. And then, you know, I have young people coming in, particularly that are sporty young men. So exercise is a really positive thing. And it's really important that people take exercise, particularly if you suffer from migraine, it can be very helpful. But if you do intense exercise and don't have a warm-up period, and maybe haven't eaten before you take that exercise, that can be a trigger again. So it's very individual. The dietary one is really interesting. And I think it was kind of very much the old kind of thought and the old model that you think cheese or chocolate or certain things triggered it. And for some people, they certainly do, particularly things in food. But I think what people, there can be a little bit of confusion. And 24 hours before somebody gets a migraine, they often will have what we call a prodrome, which is where they can crave certain foods. Typical signs of prodrome would be yawning or maybe craving carbohydrates, certain foods, certain sugary foods, or particular kind of cravings. And sometimes the person can think that the food that they craved actually caused the migraine, when in fact they were having what we call a prodrome that was about to lead into a migraine. So we can falsely accuse some foods of causing it when it may not be.
Yeah. And that's that idea of the threshold. So like you might have a really stressful day at work and you haven't eaten properly, and then you grab some snack, which is chocolate, and you get a migraine. And so the chocolate is blamed. Isn't that often what happens?
Yeah. And yet the migraine was already there. It had already, you know, that cortical, you know, spreading was there, and it was already in motion. So yeah, absolutely. And then I guess the other thing that is really important is the sleep pattern. So we kind of say too much sleep, too little sleep, are really problematic. You got to be almost, and I kind of hate saying it to people, but you got to be have a boring life when you've got a migraine, you know, and we can't all be boring all the time. You have to go mad sometimes, but at least if you're going mad and you know that you're kind of only, you're not getting enough sleep or you're at a party, you certainly need to make sure your blood sugars are okay. And you need to make sure that, you know, there's not other factors in the background. It wouldn't be a good idea on a stormy day to be tired and to have not had your meal, you know. So just all those factors coming together can be enough. So sleep, really important to go to bed at the same time every night, get up the same time every morning. Sleep-ins are not a good idea for two particular reasons. One, because that disturbance of sleep is not good for the migraine brain, but also because you probably haven't had your breakfast, and that's another factor, that your blood sugars are that little bit low. So that's two triggers coming together, which can be enough to bring somebody over that threshold that you mentioned, Debbie.
Yeah. And Aoife, does that speak to you? Do you have an idea of what your triggers are, or does that sound familiar?
Yeah, very much so. My migraine journey really kind of started around 2018. And it was when I was traveling over and back between Dublin and New York a lot. So definitely the sleep pattern was all over the place. I was either getting too little sleep or too much sleep, or I was jet lagged all the time. So that's when I really kind of started to see it come on. And I actually remember the first time I ever got a migraine. And I was I was in Dublin. I was home from New York. It was the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep because I didn't know what time of day it was. My body clock was all over the place. And I got hit by this excruciating pain in my head. And, you know, when you haven't experienced a migraine before, you're like, what is going on? My head's about to explode. And I remember my best friend is a nurse, and I ended up, I knew she was on night shifts that week, and I ended up texting her being like, I think I'm going to die. So she just explained to me that you're more than likely getting a migraine. But I will never forget the first time I got it, because it was just such a shock to the system. And really now, this year I haven't, obviously, or last year in 2020, I haven't been flying at all, thankfully. So I'm having that boring life that we're trying to achieve. But still, sleep pattern is the main one that actually triggers migraines for me. So even if I've had a bad night's sleep, a restless night's sleep, I'd wake up and it would already be kind of there, like lingering and lurking. And by the afternoon time, I would be, you know, I'd be out for the day. It would be completely, the curtains closed, the eye mask on, the earplugs in, and, you know, it would have completely have disrupted my whole day. Because I would have gotten a migraine just from having a restless or disturbed night's sleep. So definitely sleep patterns is particularly, a big one for me, and absolutely agree with the stress as well. I think in general, we've all had a lot of underlying stress in the last year, whether, you know, we realize it or not. So a lot of then factors thrown in, you know, general life things happening to us day to day, you know, can really affect then the amount of migraines you get. So yeah, definitely. I know a couple of my triggers already, and I try and kind of keep them at bay as much as I can.
And did you consciously try and identify those triggers, or did it just naturally happen? You just realized, or were you trying to get to the bottom of it?
It was very much, I realized that I was getting them at particular times of the day. If I had a bad night's sleep, I would have noticed that I'd be waking up with a headache, which isn't really a normal thing to happen. So that was a big one. And then I actually ended up going to my GP about it, and he had then said to me that it was more than likely the migraines. So he just very much then told me to, he recommended to keep a headache diary. And even to keep a food diary, if it was, you know, something that I was eating and I wasn't realizing. So it was the headache diary then that really kind of solidified it for me that it was very much related to sleep patterns, and also related to general kind of anxiety and, you know, your day-to-day worries and, you know, everything kind of coming in on top of that. But in general, I kind of try to keep, you know, a very well-balanced lifestyle, knowing that, no, you know, I shouldn't really do that now because I know that'll give me a migraine. So I try to keep like well hydrated and keep like exercise to like a moderate level, and just little things like that you can adjust to try and kind of help you along the way.
Yeah, and exercise is triggering for you, Aoife. Is it like if you do a particular forceful exercise or?
Yeah, like not so much. It's really the sleep patterns. It's really the stress and a little bit of, you know, I'm very interested to hear what Sinead had said, because I'd always put down chocolate as well. But really, you know, it's just, I think it's the general lifestyle in terms of sleep patterns and general kind of worries and stress in my life. But I'm very much aware of the things that might kind of, you know, if I was working too long, if I was looking at a screen too much, if I had too many, you know, sensory kind of interruptions in my day, you know, be very much like, you know, I might go and maybe rest my eyes for a while, things like that. I'd kind of be very much aware of, you know, trying to keep any migraine symptoms at bay, because they can kind of come in and come fast.
Yeah, yeah. So Aoife, so obviously you're pregnant at the moment. And yeah. So how are the migraines? Because, you know, some people's improve with pregnancy, some people's get worse. So how are yours doing?
Yeah, so I'm currently 20 weeks. So I'm at the halfway mark, which is great. In my first trimester, I very much saw no different really in the frequency of how many times I would get a migraine. I get them quite regularly, to be honest. So, you know, I just kind of didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, look, I still have them. Yeah, no different. And then once I got into my second trimester, gone. Yeah. So I haven't got one in quite a few weeks now, which is just wonderful. So I'm kind of just enjoying the bit of respite and, you know, wondering if they're around the corner anywhere, but just really enjoying a bit of like of the second trimester joys that everyone kind of, you know, raves about. So at the moment, they're very much at bay. So long may it last.
Excellent. So you might just be one of the lucky ones. I was one of the lucky ones on my three boys. So they just disappeared when I was pregnant. So, but they did, I suppose the only thing you would flag, and maybe Sinead, you could talk about this, is the period after the baby comes. It's probably every single trigger for people with migraine, lack of sleep, stress, all of that. Do you have any advice for Aoife?
The whole works, the whole storm. Well, do you know what? It's good to, if you can breastfeed, it is good in that it keeps the hormones kind of even. But I say that having kind of breastfed and the struggles of breastfeeding, you know, when you have a newborn baby, you kind of just want to get as much support as you can that you're, you know, and with the first particularly, I'm very excited for you. It's a really exciting time. But you need to sleep when they sleep. You know, that's the big thing, that the temptation is to get up and kind of work and, you know, try to do other things when they're sleeping. And then lo and behold, they're up looking for feed again. So if you've the sleep deprivation and you're breastfeeding, it is a little, it can be challenging, but actually breastfeeding will kind of keep hormones level. So it's almost like a fourth trimester, you're kind of keeping the estrogen level kind of nice and regular. So it is protective in that regard. But yeah, if you've got a tough baby, I don't know if you had any like that, Debbie. I had one out of three.
And he was the first.
Absolutely. Or the first. Well, you are very brave.
Yes. So just to go back to, you've mentioned it there now, Sinead, and this was the most useful information I had in terms of my migraine, was rather than getting kind of tied up with the dietary triggers, was actually the gap between meals was that was the biggest trigger for me. Completely. Did you find that, Aoife, or is that a problem with that if you don't eat for a number of hours, it could trigger a migraine?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. If I leave too much of a gap in the middle of my day, you know, especially in my work as well, it kind of lacks, you know, I, you know, you're self-employed and you're flexible, but you lack that certain amount of routine in your day. So, you know, you might have a late lunch or you might have a late breakfast. And then definitely that would be a trigger for me as well, is not just the gaps in between food that might happen if you're, you know, off on a shoot or off on a job. That was definitely something that I found that would give me a migraine as well.
And during your time as Miss Ireland, I would imagine the competition itself and then the aftermath, that must have been quite stressful. Was it hard to manage your migraines then, or were you getting migraines then?
So I really only started getting migraines in when I first started flying over and back to New York from Dublin at a you know, I was doing a large amount of flying, probably a lot too much now when I look back. And that was just really when it started for me, and it kind of just came out of nowhere. So when I look back at the Miss Ireland time, you know, I wasn't getting migraines. So it wasn't that much. It didn't really kind of affect my life as much. Whereas now I'm just a lot more aware of what I'm doing and trying to keep that balanced lifestyle, you know, across the board, you know, in terms of all triggers and especially the sleep.
Yeah. And Teva conducted research into migraine, and that forms the basis of a lot of the episodes of this podcast series. And they found that 39% of those who suffered from migraines felt that they had to hide the fact that they had a migraine, and 24% of those felt that they had to hide it from their employers or professionally. Have you ever had to do that, Aoife?
I think with migraines, I think for anyone who doesn't get migraines, they might just think it's a normal headache and they don't really like understand, you know, the severity of its effects and how it can completely interrupt your day. So yeah, I think, you know, in terms of if I'm doing a job and I'm trying to get something done and you're struck down with a migraine, it's kind of nearly a little bit embarrassing because, you know, they might just think, oh, she's a headache, you know, and she doesn't want to do it. But, you know, I definitely have tried to be like, no, you know, take the time out for myself, because you can't, you know, it is very debilitating when you do get a migraine. You know, it's very disruptive to your day and to your life. So I've definitely tried to kind of like take that time out for myself to recover from it and just kind of explain then, you know, that you know, how terrible it is.
And Sinead, do you find that in your clinics is that, you know, people, there's a stress there and a stigma that people are trying to hide the severity, which we wouldn't do with something like epilepsy or a heart condition?
No, absolutely. And in a sense, it's kind of invisible. I honestly genuinely think that not all employers do understand it unless they have a family member who suffers with it. I think like many things in life, unless it's personal, people just don't get it, you know, unless you've experienced it and lived it yourself, or a loved one has lived it, or a very good friend, like Aoife had mentioned, people don't understand. And if they've no experience of it, but it's so common that you kind of wonder, like most people should have some understanding as well, you know, that we're talking 700,000 people in Ireland. Like that is a very, very common condition. And particularly us women, you know, up to nearly 50% of us are going to have a migraine at some point in our lives. So that helps in one sense. But no, I think there is a little bit, there is a stigma with having a disabling headache, you know, that might mean that you may not be able to be in work on a certain day. And depending what kind of work you do, you know, if you're an airline pilot and you're getting a severe migraine, that's, you know, you're not going to be functioning at the same level. So you need an understanding employer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So Sinead, when you were just talking earlier about diagnosing migraine, and migraine, it's an odd one in the sense that there's no specific tests you can do to diagnose migraine. So really the communication and the time to communicate with your GP is really important, isn't it? Because the only way to get a diagnosis is by talking to people, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, time is a big barrier, certainly in GP practice. In fact, it was one of the reasons why I kind of wanted to set up a headache clinic that was designated to it, because I found if somebody kind of tried to find me in practice, they're coming in and it's maybe 15 minutes I have with them, and it's just not enough time to actually get the history out. You know, the headache history, you got to give it the time. Like I find I do for a new patient, I would spend 40 minutes with them. And I think it really takes all of that. And Aoife mentioned there, her first presentation, it's a really frightening, terrifying experience. Because if you've never had a migraine before, you know, it's a neurological, it's a shutdown. Your brain isn't actually functioning normally. And when you don't know what that's like and it's your first time, you really do think your head's going to explode in a lot of cases. Now, I know the severity varies as well. So I really do spend time kind of getting that kind of diagnosis correct. So I think the headache diary is really important, and kind of knowing the patient, knowing not to go more than 6 days of acute medications, because you can get into more sort of trouble, and getting onto a preventative medication if it's needed, you know, in time before you become very chronic, you know, and that happens. And it's kind of tragic, really. And it's amazing how people put up with these things and suffer on unnecessarily. So I would really encourage people to empower themselves, absolutely go into your GP.
So Aoife, you have obviously a relationship with your own GP, and is that a close and understanding relationship, and how useful has it been?
Yeah, well, going to my GP about my migraine has only, about my migraines, so it has only really been beneficial to me. He gave me the idea of the headache diary, and that was really able, I was really then able to kind of narrow down the triggers then that I was getting from that headache diary. And, I was able to, then he was suggesting, list out all your medications, any vitamins or supplements I was taking, if I had family history of it, because my mum gets them as well. So that was all very, helpful in learning about the migraines and what was going to be triggering them. And then, moving forward as well, I just know myself that, living with migraines is just something now that like I've accepted, and, I just try and manage that as best I can. And it's something, I have in the back of my mind that, if I'm kind of have too much stress or anxiety going on in my life at a certain time, that I have to kind of step back and, do things like if it's going to be yoga or if it's going to be breathing exercises or meditation or any little things like that, will kind of take down, any worries or fears or anxieties that I might be experiencing at a particular time in my life. So I know that, that may not then, add to getting a migraine from that. So it's just kind of really, creating that balance and having, a balanced lifestyle to be able to cope and, kind of manage the migraines overall in my life.
So it sounds like you have them much better under control now at the moment.
Absolutely. It's all about information is key, really, and just kind of like learning about, what works for you and what is going to be triggering for you. So it's just really kind of being aware of your body and being aware of your environment, and again, just touching on that migraine threshold, if it's an accumulation of that perfect storm that's going to create something, it's just being a little bit more clued into your body and everything going on in your life at that time.
So Sinead, if you had some key takeaways for people in terms of their triggers, what would they be? What would your advice be?
So, go to bed at the same time every night, get up at the same time every morning. So the sleep, that pattern, make sure the diet is good and that you're eating breakfast. Really important to eat breakfast, hydrate yourself in the morning as well as the breakfast. Have your 3 square meals and 2 healthy snacks. So diet again. Then coping with stress. So, it's exercise, do a moderate amount, like a mild to moderate amount of exercise, because not only does it, help keep the migraines kind of at bay at a moderate level, but it also helps us cope with stress. So exercise is really important, but just not to push it, not to push yourself too hard. Listen to your body. So don't overdo it. Prepare to exercise as well. So take, eat an hour and a half before you go out to exercise and make sure you're well hydrated again. So preparation is really important. And then mindfulness, just to do whatever it is, whether it's talking to a friend, whatever it is that you find gets rid of that kind of those daily stresses, being in the moment, trying not to let that emotional stress kind of bother you. And sometimes it'll blindside you. But you just having that coping, whether it's talking and taking that exercise. And let me see, am I nearly up to the 5 now, Debbie? Hopefully. I'm running out. Have a tea or a coffee in the morning. Just one. Don't go overboard. But and then, of course, probably the most important one, as well as going to your GP, obviously, is to contact the Migraine Association of Ireland, who are an amazing resource. So as you know, Debbie, they are wonderful, aren't they? And their information is brilliant, and they've got kind of the migraine diaries kind of online, you can download it, but also you can kind of get the app, which is great as well. So Migraine Association of Ireland are just brilliant. Even pick up the phone to them, they are just so supportive. They're one of the best organizations I've come across, so that as well, and they'll put you in the right direction, if you feel you're having difficulty accessing the right healthcare professional.
Yeah, and migraine.ie is the website, and there's lots of information there as well. You've been listening to Beyond Migraine, a 6-part podcast series created for people living with migraine in Ireland and brought to you by the Migraine Association of Ireland and Teva Pharmaceuticals Ireland.